Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They should open up a can of whoop ass.
Marcus Jones down the sideline. Marcus Jones, and that's the punt return for a touchdown.
May,
can he keep it himself and take it? He will, he does, and that is a touchdown in New England.
Henderson
carries into the end zone for a Patriot touchdown. Antonio Gibson, and that's a Patriot touchdown. And Hunter Henry has a touchdown. Firing easy for that. That's a touchdown to Matt Collins.
42-13. And the Patriots even their record at 2-2.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Yeah, go fast.
This is WEEI Afternoons.
With Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens.
And three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Not always great when you end a game with a battle of backup quarterbacks, but it was yesterday for your New England Patriots when we saw Dobbs versus Dalton in the fourth quarter because the Patriots were... You got to turn your microphone on.
I thought it was my producer's job.
I know you're not familiar with the studio here, but you got to turn the microphone
shots
on.
Shots fired. Hashtag home studio Fitzy.
Twitch
hashtag
chat wants to know, did you leave your parents' second floor studio today?
I was running a sick ward all week last week. I walked in
These
here today.
These are my peeps, by the way.
And
Twitch
chat, please.
I forgot about him for like 6 months, but I'm back,
thumping
baby.
Your chest like Rory McIlroy when he takes down the Americans at Bethpage. Please. Hey, now you knocked me off my spot. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Normally, you see a tweet at Patriots put out like, Josh Dobbs is in at quarterback. That can mean only one of two things. It all went to hell, or, man, they must be kicking the crap out of the Panthers. Turns out, they were kicking the Carolina Kitties all over the field at the race.
Mike Giardi, right again. We were all right. We all picked
all
the
right.
Patriots. Many of us with like double-digit spreads. Now it was even a wider difference than that.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't start great. The start continues to be an issue, but that's picking nits at this point because you blow out the Panthers. Panthers didn't want to be there. Defense didn't want to be there. Bryce Young didn't want to be there anymore. Nobody wanted to be there. Meanwhile, the Patriots are just piling up big plays, mostly led by a couple guys we'll speak to here on WEEI Afternoons. 315, Drake May, 155.6 passer rating, 3 total touchdowns.
I heard he's the new Tom Brady.
We might have to do the cliche radio pump the brakes on that one, but he is being compared statistically to the likes of Tom Brady, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. MVPs, all of them.
I don't want to be compared to 2025 Lamar Jackson. That guy quit on his team.
No, this was previous Lamar Jackson. Back when he was good. Back when he was a really good player.
Yeah,
and he didn't quit on his team.
What happened to him?
He's hurt.
He's not hurt.
They're in a tough spot, though. But the Patriots are not. The Patriots have a better record than those Ravens. The Patriots are 2-2. The Patriots get a home win, thanks mostly to the fact that Jalen Brown was in attendance up at the bell ringing behind Mark
Wahlberg. That's not why they won. They won because their offense clicked on every single level, and the Panthers, like you said, once they had that first drive and then the Patriots pushed back, it was like, oh, man, we thought you guys weren't going to push back after we struck first. You're going to play today? Okay, fine. We'll just roll
over.
Warm
the buses.
Yeah, no, honestly. Like,
they rolled over like good kitties. You rubbed their belly for a little bit, and we all went home happy.
Can we catch the 4:30 out of TF Green back to Charlotte? It's like an hour and a half flight.
So the biggest takeaway has to be Drake May. You know, I know Marcus Jones changed the game for you, and we're going to get into that because I do believe he was the ignition that allowed the rest of the team to take off. But Drake May, I believe, has now in three straight weeks played the best games of his Patriots career. The Miami game, last week when you can't do it, Andy, take out the turnovers, and this week where he goes 14 of 17, 203 yards, as I said, two passing touchdowns, had a rushing touchdown. The efficiency with which Drake May is now working over the last 3 weeks is remarkable. Year two jump, right? That's what we're looking for? Year two jump? Well, if this three-game sample, eliminate week one. Well, you know, in statistics, you, like, get rid of the polls. No, like, you take out the high, you take out the low. Week one.
Yeah, it's like it's a breakfast ball or a mulligan in golf, or it's like, you know, a lot of modern grading systems where they say, like, we'll drop your lowest score.
Absolutely. Drop that. He's been really good. Oh, yeah. He looks really comfortable. He looks like he's having fun. He's even showing a little personality. He didn't say, yeah, yeah, when he had a rushing touchdown. He ripped his shirt open like he was Cam Newton.
Homage to a star.
Yes,
homage.
Absolutely. The Charlotte boy, or greater Charlotte boy, was showing his love for Cam Newton. Yes, Dan Ball.
I'm developing a take, good afternoon, gentlemen, by the way, that he would not have done that if you guys didn't talk about Cam Newton last week with him on the show.
Okay. I think that's a strong take.
Fair point. Also, we mentioned Cam Newton Friday in our coordinator interview with Josh McDaniels, and Josh spoke glowingly of the year that he spent with Cam. Cameron, he called him. Very special. Very special year.
Cameron is a special guy, and we'll see. We'll ask Drake May around 3:15 if that was something that was premeditated, if it was just caught up in the moment, because he continues to say he's not the most emotional guy on the field, and he wants to do a better job of that. I'm going to ask him, I think that might also be a good thing. If you're not that emotional, you know what that means? You're even keeled. You avoid the too high and the too low. You know, Cam Newton, I think, at times got too high and too low in the midst of, especially in his Patriots career.
I can tell you who also got too high and too low, the guy that followed Cam Newton.
The guy who used to punch himself in the thigh
Michael
when he would
McCorkle
throw a pick
Jones.
In practice.
Yeah.
Self-flagellation senior there.
Remember,
Mac Jones?
All thought it was so fun. Like, I heard he was yelling at Nick Saban from the parking lot, and
nope,
Nick Saban
psycho.
Told him to go home. Like, nope, turns out, total head case.
Wound way too tight. Snapped the head off that screw, and you were toast here in New England, Mac Jones. So, yes, according to the text line, it's Overreaction Monday on WEEI. Mm-hmm. No, I would say it's properly reacting Monday because
they played a bad team and they kicked the crap out of the bad team.
You like to keep track of this. I believe this is start 16
yes,
for Drake May.
Still hasn't finished his rookie year.
Start 16, and we're starting to get those SID tweets, comparisons to some of the great quarterbacks. People are starting to look at the Josh Allen evolution or the Justin Herbert evolution. We saw a game with, can you get back to me, Dan Ball, on the number of turnovers that Drake May had yesterday? Because everybody said he has to do two things. He needs to eliminate turnovers and get a win. How many turnovers did he have yesterday, Dan Ball?
I believe it's a big goose egg. I added it, carried the two, and it still came out of zero.
Perfect. So he, zero turnovers.
Yep.
He got the win in convincing fashion at home, which normally you'd be like, oh, show me what you can do on the road. No, at home is a problem. 3-16 in their last 19. He got the win. I don't know how you can feel anything but good about Drake May. Actually, I'm going to put out an early challenge. 617-779-7937. If you are a Drake May doubter or hater or don't think he's all that and a bag of nuts, give us a call. Because I know there is still a group out there that they're going to remain somewhat quiet today.
Oh, really? Because I think there actually happens to be one on the line right now. I think he has access to a microphone.
Listen, Drake May had a great game yesterday. I'm not going to deny that. Cleaned up the mess from, you know, weeks prior, which is what I said I thought they would do on Friday. It was the Panthers. So do it against the top.
Oh, so he gets no credit?
No, I'm not saying. I just gave him credit. That
was
the very
first
thing that I did.
What'd the Panthers do the week before?
Let him.
Pause, Your Honor.
I want to see him do it against the top 10 defense and when it matters.
What did the Panthers do the week before? They took Michael Penix, also a second-year quarterback, also a first-round pick from the same draft class, and embarrassed him 30-0. Pick six, shut him out. And I know that's a division game, so there is a little bit of a wrinkle there. I do think division games are always different. But I do believe there are people, as my guy Alex Cora would say, I do believe there are people like Stiz that are really going to be slow and hesitant to praise Drake May and to give him the credit he deserves. He was so hard on himself yesterday. Did you guys hear him say he was mad about the one sack?
Yeah.
He felt bad for his offensive line. It should have been a potential shutout sack day, and he gave them the cheap one-yard sack, and he's like, I apologize to those guys. Drake May's leadership, execution, it's all coming into play. And, yes, is there a tough game on the horizon? We're going to push that off till later in the week. You got Buffalo Sunday night, but guess what? After that tough game, lots of not as tough games against very winnable opposition for Drake May to pick up some steam here.
Three more winnable games following the Buffalo game. But dare I say, if we are holding Drake May to this numerical standard of you will finish your rookie year and be a sophomore sensation in the NFL after you play or start 17 games, is there a more fitting final start to this prolonged rookie year than going to Buffalo to play the guy you have been most often compared to?
No, it's perfect. And
it
I don't
perfect.
I don't want to roll with those comparisons quite yet. It's just not fair to
who
Drake
said
May.
Sports radio. Who said it's fair?
No, I know, cuz and I get the skills. I mean, I was literally the first person to compare him to Josh Allen. Brag on television, but
I'm sorry. What?
Yeah. I can go back and show you the NBC Sports Boston where I compared him with Phil Perry in an appearance, and we go off the air, and Phil Perry goes, interesting, Josh Allen, I've never heard that one before. And if Phil Perry hasn't heard it, it wasn't out there yet, because he does Next Pats, This Pats, Past Pats podcast.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, no, I think the comparison is interesting, but for now, just let Drake May be Drake May for whoever the hell he is. The more apt comparisons, I would say, you know what's interesting comparison? How about the guy he played on Sunday? Former first pick. A year earlier,
Bryce Young,
former number one overall pick. That's a franchise quarterback. Who looked better, Stiz? Stiz, who looked better, Bryce Young or Drake May?
Answer the question.
Drake.
Yeah. Who looked better recently? Would that be Penix or May? That's May. J.J. McCarthy. Oh, you can't compare him because he's hurt after he had one good quarter.
Who's
seven
taller,
bad
you
quarters.
Or Bryce Young? Dude, Mark Schlereth even said yesterday, and he's not even 5'10". Why did we allow people to entertain the notion of like, oh, he's 6 feet tall? Dude makes Drew Brees look like Sean Bradley.
Oh, he's tiny. He had that one where they're
small.
Like, Tonga got his hand up. No. Tonga blocked it with his chin.
He threw it into Tonga's face.
Right here. Hit him right in the bottom of the face mask.
By the way, side note to a side note, Kyrie's Tonga's a pretty good football player.
Also, my favorite celebrator. I don't know if you guys saw when he was leading the way for the first Marcus Jones long punt return. At the 40-yard line, he looked over his shoulder, saw Marcus cut back across the punter, and threw his fist in the air to celebrate at the 40-yard line. You had a defensive lineman celebrating like he's Deion Sanders at the 40-yard line because he knew Marcus Jones was gone. That was the big play that sprung the day that they needed. I'm not going to pretend they didn't need it because they gave up an early drive and then they went three and out and you're like, oh no, are we going to be one of those dog fights with a dog bleep team on the other side
of
the ball?
I've seen Carolina come in here and win when they weren't supposed to. Granted, that was 8 years ago when it was, oddly enough, Cam Newton versus Tom Brady. Not really in the mood for one of those right now. Thanks very little. And you got, as we said yesterday on the Six Rings postgame show, thanks for listening, everybody, you got the catalyst, you got the spark, you got the smelling salts to wake the team up in the form of that Marcus Jones 88-yard touchdown.
So I think this is trolling me in the 207. I wonder if Drake May likes to win. I feel like that may be a troll job for a certain question asked by a certain host
him,
on a certain first interview of the season here.
Which way he's also going in terms of like where his career is. Like it's certainly past the crossroads, right?
There's no crossroads.
Is there an intersection at
you
least?
Know what the question is now?
Is there
now?
A stoplight?
Overreaction Andy on a Monday?
Oh, yeah? What's that?
How much are you going to have to pay him? Does it go over half a billion dollars?
There you go. Ask him that.
I think Dan Ball just rolled his eyes back there.
There you go. Ask him. Drake, have you planned on what you're going to do with your first half billion?
When you get a half billion dollars, can you give me like $50,000? You won't even notice it's gone when
you kind of owe it to me for calling you Josh Allen light and pumping your tires the way I did.
I believe it's a fact that he's been dominant since somebody asked him if he had the fire to win football games, and I believe that was me. So I should take a little credit.
You believe this?
I knew yesterday.
At least you've been the producer's box. The stink of this arrogance and just unbearable.
I couldn't even enjoy yesterday's victory as much as I wanted because I knew how insufferable Andy was.
Why am I insufferable? No,
it's not just Andy.
Join the fun. Drake May is showing that he can be what we thought he could be. Ted will join the fun tomorrow.
Next Monday.
Ted was a bit... I will. I talk to you every Monday, so that's kind of not a weird challenge.
It's kind of
the
way it works.
Kind of work. Be like, where's Andy if he's not in on a Monday? Could he have a difficult challenge in Buffalo? Sure. Could he struggle a little bit? Sure. Are they all going to be easy from here on out? No. We see the great ones. Josh Allen's the perfect example. As much as he's accomplished, you know what everybody says? When's he going to win in the playoffs? When's he going to win a Super Bowl? Lamar Jackson, MVPs. When's he going to win the... Like, there's challenges on the horizon. Week one, we were questioning Drake May's future. I think some people were questioning whether he's the guy. In fact, I believe we got phone calls and texts of people saying, he's not the guy. You're going to be looking for another quarterback shortly thereafter. This isn't working. There's too much on his plate. What's he doing with Josh? I even asked the question, is he thinking too much about what he's not supposed to do, what he's not supposed to, the mistakes he's not supposed to make? Now, 3 weeks later, and that's a long time in the NFL. Mm-hmm. 3 weeks is a lot of games. Like, you're a month into the season now, a quarter of the season. Just ask Cam Ward. If we're keeping it 100, if we're keeping it a buck here with Drake May, he's legit. He's getting the job done. And I don't know how you can dispute that. He's having a great stretch of games here, and none of it is being carried by anybody else. That's the other thing. Yesterday was a really nice day for Stephon Diggs, 100-yard game. The previous week, it was a really nice day by Hunter Henry. The week before that, it was a really nice day by Ramondre Stevenson. The week before that, it was a really nice day by Kayshon Boutte. You notice a trend?
Mm-hmm.
Four really nice days by four different guys. He doesn't have a go-to guy. He doesn't have a true number one. You know, a guy like A.J. Brown who gets the ball for like 4 yards a game.
And
no,
then,
no true
then
number
gets
ones
really
like that.
Really happy about it afterwards, even in the face of victory. No.
So don't we credit Drake May for that? We used to credit Tom Brady when he spread the ball around.
Tom Brady has spread the ball around to seven different receivers.
And it's
start
only
this
three
game.
Minutes into the first quarter.
Right. Drake May's had four different leading targets in four games. Isn't that a sign of a young quarterback that's doing a nice job?
Is that a sign of a quarterback that's doing a nice job, or is that a sign of, well, I'm just going to throw it to whoever's open?
That's what he's supposed to do. Have you heard his head coach? He said it like 17 times. Even Tom Brady used to pretend it. Now, Tom Brady with the game on the line wouldn't throw to who's open. He would throw to Gronk.
Don't you just love having like one guy you know you can always go to?
Maybe we can dream of that someday. But right now, the young quarterback who is developing is throwing to the open receiver. He's throwing to the matchups he likes. Four straight weeks, four different leading receivers. Week one, remember Boutte was the number one receiver? He was going to have 1,700 yards. Hasn't really played out.
He looked like he wanted to go to him yesterday early, and then it was like, ooh, I almost threw that to the other team. Maybe I shouldn't do that.
That was his lone really bad decision of the day. His lone really bad decision.
One of three incompletions.
The other two incompletions early in the second half weren't great throws. One was the one over the middle where he got Ben Brown got bull rushed into him, and I don't think he could follow through.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it was about as clean and efficient a day as you could have for a quarterback who has not yet had one full season under his belt in the National Football League. And Stiz, you were being a little disrespectful. The Panthers came in with a pretty good pass defense. They have a good secondary of playmakers. They have a good defensive front, and they made life really tough a week earlier on Michael Penix, another young, developing quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, stop it. Don't be disingenuous. Well, this game, everyone was like, I mean, Giardi, whoop ass.
And you were supposed to run the ball. Their pass defense was pretty good.
What did the Falcons do yesterday? Surprise the Commanders. 34-27. How about that, huh? See, it's a topsy-turvy league. You only get to play one team each week. They came in with a hot hand. Pretty banged up.
Yes, Dan Ball.
He also only threw the ball 18 or 17 times. Yeah. So, I mean, they did run the ball considerably more than they passed. I think McDaniels deserves more credit than you guys are giving May right now.
You don't have to convince me. I put our show poll today out, and I'll give the results later. Of the three regular guests who had the best day, I said it was Josh McDaniels, Drake May, Marcus Jones. You can go now at Jumbo Heart at WEEI Afternoons. But I think Josh McDaniels was phenomenal yesterday. And that's a two-pronged point. One, I think Josh McDaniels is a really good offensive coordinator. Two, I think he's getting comfortable with Drake May, his quarterback, the play action
and vice
game,
versa.
What he likes, all of that.
Vice versa as well. Like, Drake May is getting more comfortable with the McDaniels system. Like, once they hit that Neuralink and one is thinking like the other, that's when the offense opens up.
Then you're all in really big trouble because you're going to get your asses whooped, especially if they get a number one receiver. 617-779-7937. How are we feeling about Drake May, his development? Doesn't seem like there's too much on his plate anymore. Is he a top 10 quarterback all of a sudden? Lots of that roaming around the internet. Top 10 quarterback Drake May, less than a year into his NFL starting career. 617-779-7937. Or are you a doubter? Do you still think he's not the guy? And I would give you much credit if you have the balls to come on the radio today and say Drake May is not the guy for the Patriots. That's a challenge. 617-779-7937. We'll take your phone calls, continue to break down the big win at Gillette Stadium up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, after he's done rolling his eyes at me, will give you what's trending now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Yeah, it's each and every week in this offense. You know, I think there's still stuff on the tape that, you know, coach would get on me on, and I think that's, you know, the best thing to do is, you know, with the loss, you kind of learn from it and take it harder. But also when you win, look at the tape and learn from it, and there's things that show up in this game that are going to, you know, matter down the road. So, yeah, get more and more comfortable, and I think those guys around me are helping me out. So, thank you guys.
Keep on rolling, baby. Maybe we are getting a little ahead of ourselves. We're playing rolling rejoiners after one win in a row. One game in which you didn't turn the ball over six times.
Hey, two games over 30 points, though.
So we got that going for us. And Fitzy, what is my biggest takeaway from, I would argue, the last 3 weeks? Not Drake May. It's not the turnovers. What is my biggest takeaway?
That Josh McDaniels
nope.
is doing a great job?
Nope.
Well, it's Drake May.
Entertainment is back in my football world. The Patriots are fun to watch. They're entertaining. They're interesting. There's a lot going on. There's big plays. Like, this is fun. This is what I didn't have back in Cam Newton's days late in the year where it's like field goals were just a slog fest and people were trying to give me paths to the playoffs. Take your path and shove it up your keister. Whoa. This is a fun football team right now. They can make plays. Like, even some of the things that kind of, I guess, go under the radar. I think the middle of that defensive line, Milton Williams and Christian Barmore, are developing into what they're supposed to be because, you know, they are paid collectively almost
$200
million.
Someone said online yesterday that the person who actually had the best game, even though it's not going to show up on the stat sheet, was Christian Barmore.
Well, Mike Vrabel said that. And Mike Vrabel pointed to him as a guy, you know, I want to convince him that the stuff he's doing, even though it doesn't show up on the stat sheet, is
matters.
Helping the football team. And Vrabel's done this three or four times where he's brought up kind of money and roles and stats, but helping the football team. Barmore is a guy that doesn't need the money. He already got paid. He's not trying to
earn a
contract.
He's got a lot of it. And correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Vrabel end his post-game presser at Gillette yesterday in the 4 p.m.-ish hour with sort of an oration on people that aren't getting the stats
yep.
but are doing their job?
Yeah, it was kind of BS. He said Pop Douglas is doing a good job. He had one block.
They're a nice block.
Did he? The guy gave up.
This
26
the
on the Panthers.
Hold on, but this is the same.
I'm going to try to grab the ball instead of tackle the large man who's tiptoeing down the sideline when really I could use one finger and push him out of bounds.
However, is this not the same guy who watched his lead running back literally fumble the game away last week and then started him the next?
Yeah.
So he's sending, you know, he's sending.
Oh, he definitely is a modern guy, I've realized.
Way
like
more.
Positive reinforcement.
Way more.
You get more flies from honey than you mm-hmm. do from like, that is clearly his mentality, giving the guy a ball, giving the guy an opportunity to redeem himself rather than a punishment for what he's mm-hmm. done. Someday when we get a chance to chat with Vrabel, there's got to be a lot of modern self-help type books and crap that he's read.
You think he's talking to some like guru?
Something. There's something there.
Is there a podcast?
Because I find it hard to believe a guy that played under Bill Belichick for 7 years and it is in general life, the hardo of all hardos is suddenly like, no, you got to caress them and mold them, and you got to put them right back out there because they're going to help the team. You don't punish people for mistakes.
Children are our future.
You lead them out of their mistakes. Like, he's definitely read some bunk. There's some bunk on his bookshelf, and I'd like to know what it stems from. 617-779-7937. How you feeling about Drake May? A lot better than you were three and a half weeks ago, certainly, but am I getting ahead of myself? Myself, I have multiple me's. Sometimes I'm negative, sometimes I'm positive. That's self is very positive only. On Drake May, who will join us about 45 minutes from now. 3:15, Drake May here on WEEI Afternoons. And then the other star of the game, 3:30, Marcus Jones, the guy who got it all started with an electric punt return. But let's go to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Joe in Randolph has a thought on Drake May. What's up, Joe?
Yes, howdy, boys. Just checking in. Okay. Yes, the Patriots are exciting, but they make you tear your hair out sometimes, too. And May had a good game against the bad team yesterday. And like Coach Parcells says, I wouldn't put him in the Hall of Fame just yet. And if you look around the league, you'll see all of the quarterbacks that are now having a good year have been in the league for several years, and most of them are with their second or third team. So let's give this kid a chance to develop and pump the brakes a little bit and let him come into his own.
Thanks for the call, Joe. I am going to say it right now. He said don't put him in the Hall of Fame just yet.
Nope, don't. No, I'm actually going to play the part of Joe from Randolph.
Don't. Drake May will wear a red jacket. He will absolutely wear a red jacket. Drake May will be a Patriots Hall of Famer.
Like as a Target employee or what kind of red jacket?
Maybe like, you know what? Dan, have you ever, you know, like maybe friends have flown first class on like American and they have the people that greet you in the like the Platinum Lounge?
Nope.
Yeah. You got like the nice like cigar jacket.
Yeah. You
know, at like Patriot that. Place, he will have a jacket representing Patriots Hall of Fame. I'm telling you.
Checks in the mail from the May family. Huh?
I'm saving this clip.
Are you guys watching what we're seeing develop before our eyes? And, Joe, you're a little bit misleading. Yes, there are.
They played the
Dolphins.
And they played the Panthers.
He definitely screwed up the first one there. You don't say it that emphatic for a team you played 3 weeks ago.
They played the Dolphins. They suck. They haven't won yet. The Jets are probably going to beat them tonight. The Panthers are absolutely atrocious. The Steelers, somehow they're in first
three
place.
And one. You going to tell me they suck? They're not great. Aren't you what your record says you are?
No.
Oh, so Parcells is wrong.
Yeah, he is. You know, and I'll tell him his big dumb red jacket to his face. No, the Steelers are not that. They're fine. They're a good team. They're not great.
Three and one.
You played two god awful teams, and against the team that was the best of the lot of not great teams that you've played, you shot yourself in the junk and both feet.
That is the one negative takeaway I do have is you really should be regretting both the Raiders and the Steelers game already. You could easily be 3-1. You could probably talk
yourself
into 4-0.
Let the first week go. There's your test you dropped thanks to your modern age professor. You should be absolutely furious with yourself for losing to the Steelers. You should have won that game by 13 to 17 points. But it's over. It's almost October. You're 2-2. You got the Chuck Woolery. You pulled it out. Now you have a chance to continue trending towards more than just a 500 record.
Do you know who leads the NFL in completion percentage?
Let me borrow your trolling voice. Could it be one Drake May?
You know who leads the NFL in passing yards?
Oh, could that be Drake 10?
No, actually, he's fourth. I wanted to see if you'd fall for the trap. He is also fourth in passer rating, which I think is, I know some people think that's a flawed stat. That's why ESPN created the whole QBR, where he's a little lower. I think he's like 10th in QBR.
Just give me one metric I can judge a quarterback by. I don't
just
care
give
about
me eyeballs.
EPA and CPOP and QBR and QB rating and whatever, CPOE.
Is he playing well?
Yes.
Is he playing very well?
Does he look like he's a good quarterback?
Is he playing better, worse, or as good as you expected or as well?
Better.
Me too.
Yes.
Better. And that
definitely
includes...
Definitely playing better. The best I've seen him play as a pro.
Absolutely.
Night and day.
And are you seeing him develop over the course of weeks to week? Do you feel like every time he takes the field, you're kind of like, did he just get a little bit better? Like 1% better, that whole theory?
2%, that even better.
Yeah, me too. And isn't that all we've asked for? I mean, I feel like after the lows of the Raiders game, and there were some lows on that Monday and that week
that was a tough one.
And we were talking about, really, though, this year is about Drake May. You got to figure it out. There's going to be highs. There's going to be lows. Mm-hmm. Even late in the preseason, Vrabel was telling us that, you know, this is our first year. This is going to take a while. First year as a staff here together. First year in the system, blah, blah, blah. And then 3 weeks later, we're talking about Drake May in numbers, statistics, ranking highly with the current quarterbacks. If you want to use this month of football as your measurement, he's ranking well with some of the developmental quarterbacks of the past. Hell, he's ranking well for early season comparisons to Tom Brady, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson for MVPs.
And you know what's going to happen? Everyone's calling this overreaction Monday on WEEI.
Why? Because we're positive?
Give it yeah.
We're not allowed to be positive?
Not so damn negative. Give it 24 to 48 hours.
How come I get yelled at when I'm negative and I get yelled at when I'm positive?
Because you're you?
You know how, like,
it happens to me all
the time.
You know
how the fans accuse us and say the teams can't win no matter what? The media's never
happy. Why would anyone want to come to this garbage town, because all they're going to do is be criticized by you people?
I would argue the same thing. The fans are never happy. If you react positively to something, they call you a homer.
Andy, can I introduce you to Massachusetts and or New England? My God.
Are we all just never happy around
here?
The guy in the microphone, the guy listening in his car, we're all just never happy.
No, no one is ever happy. That's
the problem. I'm happy right now. Can I just live happy for a couple hours?
The Patriots went to 9 Super Bowls over 18 years and won 6 of them, and people told me that they landed, came from other towns, turned on the radio, and they were like, "What's wrong with you guys? Why aren't you happy?"
Okay, there's a lot of this, and I hate the phrase because it's annoying. It's other than a couple others. It's the most overly used cliche in radio.
Is it synergistic development?
No, pump the brakes. He beat a team he should have beat. Calm down over there. Okay, so a team, correct me if I'm wrong, Fitzy, the stat was they were 3-16 in their last 19 home games.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not supposed to look down upon anybody. They need to worry about doing their business. They haven't been able to take care of it for years.
Had they also lost the first two games that you left this season?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
So we're now looking down our noses at a victory for a team that had 3 wins over 2-plus years at home?
Can't do that.
No, you're not.
Enjoy it for what it is.
You're not good enough for that. When you get an impressive, dominant win, I don't care who it's over, but especially when it's over a team that won 30-0 the week before. So the team was so bad that they blew somebody out the week before, they arrived at your house, they drove right down your throat, and then you blew them out. And we're just supposed to dismiss it? This is not Belichick and Brady Patriots. This is developing Mike Vrabel, Drake May and company Patriots. When they blow somebody out, when they score 40 points, when they score 30 points, they deserve credit for it. There's a lot, I've heard Wiggy talking about this. There's a lot of parity in the NFL. Teams going up and down. You show up 1 week, you flop the next week. Certainly the Panthers and the Falcons are two of examples of that. The Patriots feel like they've been building a little something here. Not perfect. The penalties are still a problem. Mike Vrabel can dismiss the penalties all he wants, but it's a pain in the ass when you jump off sides multiple times, when you line up off sides, when you false start on a punt.
Yeah,
it's a pain in the ass.
The pre-snap penalties got to go.
They have to go. But beyond that, I'm going to give the Patriots credit for a blowout win at home, because they haven't had a lot of blowout wins at home in the last few years. So when you take care of business, I'm going to say you took care of business and praise you.
Okay, two things. One, as I call it, overreaction Monday.
Did you bring up two things after he flashed the light?
I didn't even see the light. Well, all I'll say is this. Two things. One, overreaction Monday is going to beget overreaction Tuesday from all the Orlovskis and whatnot. And I have a tweet to share with you on the other side, because I see the light, Stanley.
Oh, you see
Thank
it this
you.
Time?
Now
he,
I
he
see
He pushed
it.
The button 600
I
times.
I was looking at my computer trying to bring relevant information to the discussion. I'll save this tweet about how people are already pushing back.
617-779-7937. Join the conversation. How are you feeling about Drake May? Are you excited? Are you pumping the brakes, as so many seem to be saying? And Fitzy will bring relevant information to the conversation for the first time ever.
I knew you were going to say that.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag.
Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
How would you categorize your comfort level in the offense now?
5 out of 10. You know, take it with a grain of salt. Obviously, having success is not. It's week to week. So for me, I just say 5 out of 10 because you never want to get too comfortable.
Is that just how we feel?
Then he should study more. 5 out of 10.
Let's go get him. We need to get going.
I'll have to talk to Steph today.
You got to know the playbook inside and out.
Yeah, I just didn't know.
I mean, 5 out of 10. I went to Ohio State. It's failing.
Yeah, that's not good.
Didn't sound like Mike Vrabel loved Stephon Diggs' answer there to the idea that he's only halfway comfortable, 5 out of 10 in the Patriots offense. And Mike Vrabel joins the Greg Hill Show every Patriots Monday throughout the year, brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank, the leading financial option for New England businesses and the families that power them. Northeastern Savings Bank, upgrade to local member DIF, FDIC. Because I initially took that as a positive because, you know, that's me lately, optimistic Andy. And I was like, whoa, he's having a 100-yard game and he's only 5 out of 10 comfortable in the offense? Boom, what happens when he gets to 7, 8, 9? But Mike Vrabel took that the other way, more like, hey, we're far enough into this. You should be more than 5 out of 10 comfortable in the offense. I do think the relationship that is developing between Drake May and Stephon Diggs is a reason for great optimism.
Andy, I think we actually have, as it pertains to your Boston Red Sox in the American League Wild Card Series, some breaking news.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program. This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by the BetMGM Network. For all your betting needs, check out the newly rebranded BetMGM Network on the Odyssey app or locally on WEEI AM 850.
So Red Sox manager Alex Cora is currently speaking to the media ahead of the Red Sox wild card series against the New York Yankees. He has confirmed that Lucas Giolito is dealing with an elbow issue, and he will not be on the roster for the wild card round for the Boston Red Sox as they head to the Bronx. So your question, what happens in game 3 if you get there? No clue.
I know.
Connelly early.
No, it's a bullpen game.
I would just start with him and then call it a, if you want to call it a bullpen game, whatever, that's fine. But I would give him the shot. God, but this is why I told you. We were having discussion off air. I haven't been overly comfortable with Giolito, and you guys brought up the idea of using him in the bullpen, and I haven't felt good about him taking the mound. And this would explain that. This is why the velocity was down a few miles per hour. He was struggling with his command.
He was walking everyone in the ball. He hadn't gone longer than 4 2/3.
He looked old and laboring. He looked like he was laboring a little bit on the mound out there. And now
we
have the reason why. But this also undercuts what the perceived or theoretical strength of the Boston Red Sox was, that you had 3 starters that got you where you are.
Ooh.
A lot of these other teams are kind of scuffling, like the Blue Jays. Max Scherzer, like, do we really want to pitch Max Scherzer? But we kind of need to pitch, Max
Scherzer.
So you now have 2 starters. But guess what?
We're going to the playoffs in the Bronx against the Yankees with 2 starters.
But the good news is you only need 2 starters to win a 3-game series, baby. You win the first 2 games. You don't find out who the game 3 starter is.
What?
You move on to Toronto.
What happens if you win this one?
Well, then you go to Toronto, and then that series will be a hodgepodge of starting pitching for both
teams.
Okay,
I am officially
and
now.
And Alex Cora gets my vote of confidence for managing his way through that.
I am all in on if you win game 1, and you don't kind of need to, you have to win game 1. Then you obviously Bayo starts game 2, and then that game becomes all in. Just like, I don't care. Everyone's, like, Chapman Pitt can pitch the fourth for all I care. Like, you do everything under the sun. If you win game 1 with Crochet, then it is just the kitchen sink, the pot, the kettle, everybody that has contributed to the team. I don't care if Masataka Yoshida has to pitch.
Dice at the 508, our buddy Dice says, hey guys, this is why we got Dustin May. Don't sweat it. Yeah, no, that's not what we're talking about.
No wonder he was so positive about Dustin May last week was Cora in his conversation with
May
you guys.
Big May week. Yes. You know he's getting called up now. He's going to have to.
Yeah. If he's even remotely healthy, he may be your guy.
May.
I'm done.
Mats. Early. There's just a... Dan, you were doing your pitching rundown a little bit earlier. You had 9 slots. You had 7 filled. So now you have 6 filled, I assume. We got to cross this guy off the list then?
One guy moves up. One guy moves it. Yeah, unfortunately, right now you're deciding between Harrison, Early, Tolley, Chris Murphy, and Dustin May. And Criswell, if he's healthy, but I don't think he is.
What about Bernardino?
I haven't heard a word about him, funny enough. Yeah. He went on the IL with some inflammation issues and hasn't been a word about him.
How much does this affect our confidence level, our belief in wherever you were 10 minutes ago in terms of your faith in the Boston Red Sox heading to Yankee Stadium to advance? Because I was feeling good. I think the Red Sox are going to win the series. I think the Red Sox have a nice road to the ALCS because you get to go Yankees, then Blue Jays, and the sky is still falling in Toronto. And I think you will be mixing and matching with them in terms of the pitching staff. How much, though, does this alter your confidence level?
Not much, because if it was Bayo or Crochet, then I'd say we're porked, we're done, it's been fun. Hey, guys, we'll see you next spring, Red Sox fan.
But I didn't feel good about Giolito.
There was a reason why. We knew something was wrong. He wasn't just down 3 miles per hour with the fastball and walking the ballpark.
No, we're not doing this. 774, we're not taking a look at Walker Buehler's stats with the Phillies. We're not doing that. We've moved on.
By the way, they're really good. I know.
They came across like my main page of ESPN the other day. They were something like Walker Buehler, and I'm like, nope, we're not doing
that. Hasn't given up a hit in Philly since.
Dan Ball wanted him out of town. He got his wish, and well.
And I was still right. By the way, do you guys know who the Yankees' potential Game 3 starter would be?
Tell me.
Neither would they, because 3 of their options are, I would say, not that much better than you. It's either Luis Gil, who was hurt for most of the year.
He's not bad. Actually, he pitched pretty well against the Sox in that final weekend series.
Talented guy, walks the world.
Spelled Gil.
Will Warren, who's got a mid-4 ERA. And then a name you have to say very slowly, Cam Schlittler, is your other option.
He actually pitched this weekend, I believe. I was checking out the Yanks on our sister station. He wasn't throwing bad.
Yeah, and he's a rookie. Good rookie, but a rookie.
I feel like you can do this with the Yankees.
Schlittler.
I feel like you can do this with the Blue Jays. Like, this just makes it, it drops you back a little bit. Yep. But again, I feel like Giolito had already been undercut by his recent performances. In theory, you had your 3 starters. You're in the playoffs in part because of these 3 guys.
He hadn't been the guy of late.
No. So it doesn't greatly affect my belief in what they can be. And if I'm going to trust a manager to work his way through this, and I know we're going to be called homers, and we're hoping to talk to Alex Cora on Wednesday. He did promise last Wednesday that he'd talk to us this Wednesday. But if I'm going to trust a manager to work his way through this, of the 3, I'm going to trust Alex Cora.
Update City calling. Aaron Boone has said that Schlittler will get the Game 3 nod should it go 3.
So that'll be holy Schlittler. I don't know if I'm allowed to
It's
say
actually
it.
Going to be it's going to be Schlittler against holy Schlittler. Yes, exactly.
617-779-7937. We're reacting on the fly to the Giolito news. He is not going to be on the postseason roster to open the playoffs. Elbow issues. Therefore, your Game 3 starter against the Yankees, if needed, as they say, is up in the air. 617-779-7937. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's time for our 3-point stances. We have some Ryder Cup talk, and we also have a little JB talk. Also, on the horizon, 3:15, Drake May, the quarterback of the New England Patriots, will join us. That's all next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.